cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man. I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? I'm Marcus D'Angelo, and you're back in the Snake Pit. And of course, we're here with the man himself, the Hall of Famer, the master of the DDT, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm ready to twist this up, man. I can't wait to hear these questions. I hope somebody give me some good ones and not the old, hey, where's your snake at, man? You know, God almighty. If I hear that again, I'm going to choke whoever did it.
Man, it's, you know, our listeners brought it again, consistently. They've been bringing some fantastic questions.
We got
a ton of them, and we're going to do our best to get to as many as we possibly can.
A plethora,
and man, a wide variety, some weird ones, some cool ones, interesting ones, man. I love this because we get to hear stories from you that we frankly never get to hear as fans. So
man,
I'm psyched. But hey, look, before we get going on that, I do want to ask you, by the time this episode drops, the matchup for the Super Bowl is going to be decided. So based on how things have gone so far in the playoffs, Jake, what two teams do you think are going to be left standing?
Dallas and Kansas City.
Dallas and Kent, you know, I love hearing that. I'm wearing my Cowboys hat now. We're both Cowboys fans, and man, it's about time for America's team to rise up.
Hell yeah.
Well, so Dallas and Kansas City, that Patrick Mahomes is a tough customer. You think Dallas goes over?
Wow. That's a tough one, but I think it's time.
It's the team of destiny, right?
Yeah, I think so, man. If they don't do it this year, oh, man, I can't see them. You know, how are you going to make them any better than they are? I mean, really, on paper. You put it on paper and you look at it and you go, damn, they got all these superstars, man. Oh, man, on defense, on offense. Christ, it's just unbelievable. And T.Y. Hilton stepped up.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that's really cool. I'm really happy to see him getting the shot back in there. He certainly deserves it from what he's shown me.
Yeah, and finally, you know, he's a legend in his own right. He'll get a chance to win a Super Bowl ring, hopefully. And, man, I mean, as we're recording this, they just slayed the dragon that is Tom Brady, who they've not been able to beat. They just got him. So who knows, man? They're rolling.
They are rolling, man. Let's just keep on rolling.
Hey, fingers crossed. All right, that was my question for the week. Let's see what your fans have had to ask about.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's
let me get ready.
Yeah, okay. Limber up. Here we go. The first question is from Festerfink, great name on Twitter, who asks, who is the craziest fan that you've ever met? We talked about like a stalker type thing last week, but craziest fan.
Craziest fan, man. There's a guy out in California that goes to all the pay-per-views on the West Coast. And this guy, unfortunately, is a Hulkamaniac.
Ugh.
And he is the loudest son of a bitch. You can hear his voice. He'll come to a Comic-Con and you can hear him all over the building. What you going to do? You know, oh my God. You just want to choke the son of a bitch. And he came to a signing of mine, man, and it was so bad. He was so loud that I finally told him, I said, look, bring that guy to the front of the line, let me sign his stuff, and then throw his freaking ass out. Because he was pissing people off, man.
Right.
He was just so loud. You know, Jake Roberts, the Hulkster. He just kept on going and going. And you couldn't even talk. Yeah, he was the loudest, man.
Man, it's been what, like 40 years that you've been in this business. I'm sure you've run across some really strange characters.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, so for every terrible fan, there's probably 10 great ones that you get to.
He's a great fan, you know. I mean, he supports wrestling, you know, 100%, but he's just taking it. He's got some mental issues, no doubt.
Ah, you know? Okay.
And that's one of the reasons I kind of forgive him, too. He's not all there. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know. But, you know, there's a line that when you cross it, man, it's just too much. and he goes too much.
That's it, man. And I think a lot of people forget, you know, they think that you are the character that you portray on TV. And, you know, they kind of approach you in that respect. But, man, you're a guy. And you just
trying to get by, man.
Just want to do your job just like anybody else.
Hell yeah, man.
All right. Next up, we've got John James. Do you think animals coming into the ring like Damian and Frankie are missing in wrestling today? Who do you think would benefit from one, if anyone?
I don't think they're being missed. I mean, and I don't think with today's characters that it really works. Mm. The characters don't come across that strong as their counterpart would be, you know. Right. And they're not going to let a snake back in the ring. Period. Television won't allow it.
Ah,
you know, we found that out at AEW.
So, remind me, what happened at AEW with the snake? You tried
I put it out. I put it out, and I put it on Rhodes' wife.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that I crawled all over myself, and I had to be sure that when I crawled on top of her, that I didn't touch her.
Who put that out there?
They said, "Don't do it, man. TV won't allow it."
Wow.
TBS would not allow it. So we got the snake out, and they were really pissed off that we used the snake. And I guess they told us that that wasn't going to be allowed. But we tried to do it anyway, and they came down hard.
Man, that stinks, because it is a pretty iconic part of your character. And it would certainly add something. Do you think you could have it in, like, pre-tape promos?
I don't know. They talked about spending the money to come up with a mechanical one.
Really?
Yeah, which was going to be really expensive, you know, to have a snake move like a snake and come up and open its mouth and all that shit, you know, which I would love that.
Man, you wouldn't have to travel with it, though, would you?
Oh, man, I wouldn't mind traveling with that. Put it in a small suitcase and throw it overhead.
I guess you don't have to feed it.
You can do snakes on a plane all over again.
Mechanical snake. You heard it here on the Snake Pit. That is wild. All right, next up we've got Ad Free Shows member Ben Jones, and he asks, if you had won a world title, what promotion would you have hoped it would be for? Who would you want to beat for it?
Well, the promotion would have to be WWF or WWE. Mm-hmm. And as far as who I beat for it, it really wouldn't matter. I wouldn't beat The Undertaker because I just don't want to do that.
Right. You know?
But I wouldn't care. Maybe Shawn Michaels.
Did you ever I know that you worked with Shawn Michaels one-on-one in Mid-South. After that, you never worked with him one-on-one again.
Never did.
Man, now that could have been an interesting feud in like 96 having him bounce around.
It would have been good.
Yeah, so if that's an underrated answer. That would have been awesome. All right, Bongsies asks, in your prime, who would you have liked to work with that you never had a chance to in your career? So a guy from your era who you just never aligned with.
I would have liked to have worked with Brett, you know. I would have liked to work with Sean.
Yeah.
I think we could have done a lot. I did wrestle Triple H twice. I would have liked to have worked with Triple H. I think I could have showed him a few things.
And you went over against Triple H, I think, both times. So that's a nice little feather in your cap.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we've got another Ad Free Shows member, Yambag Jones, asking, would you rather, these are fun, work a 30-minute Broadway with Warrior or work 5 minutes with a pissed off Andre the Giant? The rough choice.
Warrior. Because a pissed off Andre, you wouldn't survive it.
Man, trying to get 30 minutes out of Warrior, though, that is a
No. I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just blow him up.
I was going to ask what the strategy was in that case.
Yeah, I would lean on him early in the match, let him blow his gut out, You know, once he blows up, man, he's done. Then I can just ride him. So stay on top of him, make him pick me up too.
Was the concern with him that, like, you know, working with him, like, obviously he's inexperienced and that sucks, but I've heard that he was, like, really stiff because he was inexperienced. Is that why you'd want to blow him up, so just weaken him a little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Take the steam out of his drawers, man.
Yep. Were you there when Andre decided to give him a receipt in the middle of the ring? I guess he was coming at him a little too hard.
I wasn't there for that, but that sounds right.
Apparently, Warrior was doing his clothesline bit, and Andre was doing, like, kind of the falling back stuff. Right. And then finally, on the last one, Andre was pissed off, and he just stuck his fist out, and Warrior ran right into it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can see that happening.
I know that you had a couple run-ins with Andre that you know, you and he became friends, of course, but you kind of have to, like, earn his trust, right?
Yeah, the first match that we had out in L.A., man, I went to the ring, and I've never been chewed up and spit out like he chewed me up and spit me out. I mean, it was the most boring match ever because he never let me have anything, nothing. Mm. And it was so bad, and I was so angry that whenever he came back from the ring, I stormed into his locker room and called him out on it. And it was funny when I barged into the locker room and started calling him out, people just scattered. And I guess they were afraid Andre would pick something up and throw it. It might hit them. I don't know. But the agents too, man, Black Jack Lanza, he took off first. He was the first one out of there. I'm like, fuck you, Andre. That's bullshit, you know? And, I was loud. I was very direct, but I was right. You know, I was absolutely right. I said, Andre, I'm here to try to make money with you, man. I'll do anything out there that you want me to that is physically possible for me. Mm-hmm. But if you guzzle me, we're not going to have nothing to go with out there. And it's not going to help you. So what are we going to do? We're okay, boss. We're good now.
All right. So even though you raised your voice at him,
he wanted that.
How about that?
He wanted to know if I'd stand up and man up on him. And I think that might be what happened with him and Randy. Randy never manned up on him. And he would just punish Randy out in the ring. Oh, my God. I remember one time they were getting ready to go to the ring, and Randy's over there, and he's got a bottle of baby oil, a huge bottle. You know, he bought the half gallon, you know, cheap size. He was so cheap, man. And he's squirting that shit all over him. And Andre goes, I hate oil. And Randy closed the top and threw it in the trash. Grabbed the towel and started rubbing that shit off, man. Didn't save him. Andre still ate him again.
So, you know, I don't think that I had heard that Andre and Randy didn't have good chemistry. So he would just go after Randy.
He just fucking pound Randy, toss him around, you know, and that's a shame. It really was. Of course, the worst one he ever did was with the Iron Sheik in Miami. He was pissed off at Sheik, man. And he invented some new maneuvers that were just incredible. You know, he'd pick Sheik up by his legs and toss him up in there, and way down he'd club him, you know. He suplexed him about 10 different ways. I mean, it was fucking brutal.
Ooh, man.
And Iron Sheik didn't say a friggin' word, man. Not one word.
My God, that is not a
on,
dude.
That went on for like 20 minutes, and all the guys were like, oh my God, he's going to fucking kill him. But Sheik survived.
You always hear the Sheik isn't a dude you want to piss with either, because he was like a shooter, right?
Yeah, supposedly. But I've seen the Sheik when he was pissed off and tried to go after somebody. He didn't have too good of luck. And the guy was relatively... what was his name? Belomo. Salvatore Belomo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They were doing a thing in Vancouver, and Iron Sheik had used the loaded boot on him. And they'd had two or three return matches. And finally, they had a match, and Beloma was able to get the boot off. And when he pulled it off, it slipped out of his hands, and the boot went into the crowd.
Oh.
And fucking Sheik went nuts, man. He came in the locker. You motherfucker. I'm going to kill you. My boot. Where is my boot? That is my gimmick. You can't do that, you stupid son of a bitch. Here, come here. I'm going to fucking teach you some respect. And fucking Beloma, man. He started fighting it. And Sheik didn't come out too good on that.
No way.
Yeah, no shit, man. Every surprise shocked everybody, man.
You always hear he's
supposed to be this badass.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this guy, I guess he was scared for his life, number one. But, you know, he certainly wasn't no physical specimen. He was 210 pounds, but he wasn't jacked up or anything, man. He was, he was really small. Salvatore Beloma.
Yeah. It just goes to show you never know who you're pissing with.
No, you don't, man. No, you don't.
And that's actually kind of leads into our next question pretty well here. We've got Joe at Splodum on Twitter asks, any stories regarding fans you've seen getting beaten up by a wrestler? Probably, right?
Oh, yeah. It's happened a few times. I think the worst probably was Ronnie Garvin.
Oh, man.
Oh, Ronnie Garvin, man. I seen him just beat the shit out of a guy. Then I seen just one punch a guy and knocked a guy about 10 feet, man. But Ronnie Garvin was a triple tough, not double tough, triple tough son of a bitch, man. And I remember one night we were in Lansing, Michigan, and there's like 3 feet of snow in the parking lot. And we all had rental cars, but the rental cars looked alike. And this guy went out in the parking lot, and I was outside smoking a cigarette, and I said, hey! You better not bother that car, because that's mine and the Warriors' car. You hear me, you son of a bitch? You fuck with that car, I'm going to find you. Of course, it wasn't our car. It was Ronnie's car. And the guy broke the side view mirror off of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so when Ronnie come out and seen the fucking mirror, and he seen the guy, he goes, what the fuck? And the guy goes, yeah, it's the Warriors' car. I fucking got it. You did this? Yeah, man, it's funny, isn't it? You fucking asshole. And Ronnie just started pounding him, man. And the guy got away from Ronnie and took off running on his hands and knees, man. And Ronnie got in the car and he's chasing him in the parking lot with his car, trying to run over him.
Oh, my God.
The guy was bleeding his ass off, man. Ronnie, well, he fucked him up, man.
All right, I'm not going to mess around with Ronnie Garvin because I bet he's still a badass today. What about you, Jake? Did you ever have to take matters into your own hands with a fan?
Oh,
I know
yeah.
we kind of talked about that last week a little, but different circumstances.
I guess the scariest thing probably was when we were in Mexico City, and Sensational Sherry and I were down there, and we were in the Bull Arena. There's like 55,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And during the last match, I stepped over the barricade and clubbed Conan, who was their star.
Yes.
And then I clubbed his opponent. Actually, I clubbed his opponent twice. It was the first time he didn't go down, but that second time, he went down. I broke his nose, man. He went down, so I threw him in the ring for Conan to beat him. But the people rioted over it. And so here's me and Sensational Sherry, and we've got like 75 yards to get to the locker room, and we're having to fight our way back through the crowd.
Oof.
And I probably knocked out 4 or 5 guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went down and didn't move, but I hit a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I hit a bunch of them, man. But the only thing that pissed me off is Sherry fucking knocked more guys out than I did. God damn, she could fight.
Ooh, man.
It was scary, too. You know, whenever I'm hitting a guy, I'm quiet. But Sherry, she was shrieking and screaming. Ah, you son of a... I'll kill you, you motherfucker. He was, oh my God, I'm like, Sherry, slow down, stop, Sherry, stop. You know, let me have a couple. No way.
Man, she was nothing to mess with.
Oh, hell no, man. I love that girl.
Yeah, gosh, gone too soon. What a huge star in our industry. I'm glad she got to go into the Hall of Fame, though, before she passed.
I remember another guy in, where was that at? Billings, Montana. A honky-tonk man was singing his song, you know, before the match. And just for rib, I said, well, I'm not going out yet. I'm going to make him sing it one more time. Well, hell, when he sang it the second time, the people really started booing his ass. And to the point that the promoter said, let him sing it one more time. He started singing it that third time, and two fans jumped in the ring and jumped him. Hell, I had to go out there and save his ass, man. I went out there and I clubbed a couple of them. You know, accidentally hit him, you know. Right. So Honky didn't get his ass kicked. But I think the scariest one for me besides the Mexico City, that's just insane when you have a riot. Because they were rioting. We got stuck in the locker room till 5 a.m. in the morning. Because the fans wouldn't leave. There was like 4,000 or 5,000 people standing outside chanting our names, man. They were going to fuck us up.
Oh, God.
And it was so bad that they called the baby faces back to the building to do a impromptu autograph session at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know? And once they announced that, the fans started going over to that area and we were able to get out. But
so you'd been stuck there all night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With an old timer named Pedro Aguayo.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one that stuck around with us. And we sat there and drank two bottles of tequila. Oh, man, I was so sick that next day, brother. And when I seen him, he was fine, man. That really hurt, you know.
Ooh, man.
He's jumping around. He's happy. He didn't have a hangover or nothing. I'm over there like, oh, fuck. Oh, I'm gonna puke, man. Oh, I'm so sick. Please help me. You know, oh, it good was Lord. Bad, man. But another time we were in Wheeling, West Virginia, back in the Georgia Championship days, and I was wrestling Ronnie Garvin and throwing him out on the floor, and I ran him into the guardrail a couple of times. And Ronnie told me, says, from behind, Jake, from behind. And I turn and I look, and this guy, no shit, was like 6'10".
Damn.
You know, 375 pounds. Just a great big old redneck son of a bitch, man. Had on overalls the whole bit, man. And he's like, you quit hitting him. You quit hitting him. I said, go back to your seat, motherfucker. Go back to your seat, I'll fucking kill you. You gotta throw your bluff in, man.
Right.
You know, I don't want to fucking kill you, kid, but I'll fuck you up, man. Go back to your seat. I turn around and I hit Ronnie one more time. Ronnie says, now. And I just turned and I threw everything I fucking had, man. I mean, I strained my toenails and I was training so hard. And I hit him and he just stood there and looked at me.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden he just... fell like a tree. I jammed my wrist, jammed my elbow, broke two knuckles in my hand.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great deal, Jake. Oh, my God. My hand swelled up like that. I had to keep wrestling, of course. But, man, my elbow, man, I jammed my elbow really bad, man. It took a month for me to get over that.
Man, you know you've had a good punch when you fuck up your elbow.
Yeah, and your wrist, and your knuckles.
Woo, and drop a 6'10", dude. That is a hell of a punch.
Yeah, the road warriors were like, damn, Jake. I was like, holy shit, I did it. I was more shocked than anybody that I was able to knock him out.
I'm sure it got you some cred among the boys backstage, right?
It did, man. They were all like, what the fuck, dude?
Don't mess with Jake.
Damn right, man.
All right, next up, Jake, we've got the fourth Coug, who asks, was there ever someone you refused to work with?
Let me think. I Let me think. Yes. Yeah.
Who was it?
Vader.
Vader, really?
Yeah.
So what happened between the two of you?
Oh, he broke my sternum. And I asked him, what the hell's going on with you, man? What the hell happened out there? And he's like, I'm sorry, Jake. I just get so excited because the people are so into you, man. And they were all just really all amped up. I just lost control. Really? Yeah. You know? And I had to take 2 months off.
Was that the King of the Ring?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
2 months. So then I wrestled him again. And what happened? He broke my sternum again.
Holy shit.
Crushing me in the corner. And the second time wasn't near as bad. But they came to me about 6 weeks later and they wanted me to wrestle him. I said, fuck no, I'm not wrestling him. Find somebody else to get in the ring with him. I'm not doing it.
Man, once is enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, let alone twice. Man. I don't blame you, man. Holy shit.
Stupid. What it was. It was fucking stupid. We could have made a lot of money together.
No doubt about it.
You know, but.
Because as he said, you're over as a baby face. He was certainly over as a heel. And yeah, you guys could have had a hell of a program.
Could have had a hell of a run, man. But yeah, there's no excuse for that. For a guy not to have control, there's no excuse for that. None at all.
All right, Jake, AFL3 asks, what's your favorite road song?
Oh, it's got to be, oh my God, hold on. Turn the Page by Bob Seger.
You know, I had a feeling you're going to say that. I've heard a lot of the guys say that. And it's a song that's basically about the business, isn't it?
It's about the road, man.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to deal with people when you go into a place and you get the stares and everybody's looking at you and you don't know what the hell they're thinking. You know, I mean, I've been in some places, brother, that I'm scared for my life, man. You know, going to a place at 3 o'clock in the morning needing gas, and there's 3 or 4 guys over on the side going, fuck, I could whip his ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, oh shit, here we go, man.
I mean, under those circumstances, like if these guys are starting shit, are you just like, come on, guys? Or like, you know, do you have to play the tough guy?
You gotta play the tough guy, man. You gotta throw your bluff in, you know.
So you're telling these guys, like, I'll fuck up all three of you guys. Come on over.
Yeah. Come on, boys. Let me show you some shit you hadn't had. Let me show you the other end of your dick. Whew. That's what I'll do. I'll pull your fucking dick off and I'll stick it in your mouth, you cocksucker. You know, get that bluff in, man. Hey, if you don't get the bluff in and you get your ass kicked, you don't feel too good about yourself.
Right, right.
If you throw that bluff out there and they still keep coming, it is what it is.
Well, and I think you could hold your own. You're knocking out 6'10 motherfuckers. So
that was a lucky shot, brother. I never claimed to be tough, but it takes a good man to beat me, but it don't take him long.
Next up, we've got Ash Rodriguez. Ash says, when you started in WWE, McMahon was around the same age as Tony Khan is now, and WWE was just taking off, much like AEW. What differences or similarities do you see between McMahon and Khan at that age?
Wow. Well, it wasn't Vince's kindness. Tony Khan's very kind. You know, they're completely two different animals.
Yeah.
They really are. Vince was a guy that surrounded himself with people that knew what the fuck to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Tony Khan already knows what the fuck to do.
Yes.
He's much wiser as far as the wrestling business goes, way more than Vince McMahon. You know, he can quote you stuff from 30 years ago, brother, and give it to you move by move.
Wow.
He's an amazing, amazing man. I don't know that I've ever met anybody any smarter than him. I really don't think I have.
Man, a true student of the game. And, you know, this question really makes me kind of think of another question. It's something I've been meaning to ask you, because as we go here, you know, anytime I bring up Vince, you know, it's your response generally isn't favorable. So my question from Marcus here in Pittsburgh is, what is the nature of your relationship like with Vince McMahon overall?
It's not there.
No.
You can't have a real relationship with Vince. You know, he's not going to let you get that close to him. You know, I think he respects me and I respect him. You know, Vince did a great thing for wrestling, but he could have done it a whole lot better if he'd just been more fair. You know, if he'd have paid the guys better. Mm-hmm. If you had taken care of the guys after they got busted up, that's my bitch. You know, you're a big billionaire and you got guys rotting and dying needing help.
Yes.
You know, the worst was probably Kamala.
Right.
Who desperately needed help. And he made Vince McMahon a lot of fucking money.
He was a big draw.
Yes, he was. And for Vince not to reach out and try to help him. Now, I do know that Vince helped Scott Hall.
Yes.
But he didn't help Kamala. And that just rubs me the wrong way. You know, that rubs me the wrong way.
That is odd, you know, especially because, as you said, Kamala was a big draw and this big monster heel and, you know, certainly loyal to Vince McMahon and his brand for many years.
Yep.
All right. Next up, we've got Gremlin the dog. And Gremlin asks, Jake, besides wrestling, what TV or movies do you like to watch? What are you watching now, Jake?
Oh, brother, the TV I watch, you wouldn't want to watch, man. NCIS. I love Blacklist. Mm. I like crime shit.
Yeah.
You know, I like a lot of that. I don't do a lot of movies. I've watched a few of the, 1923 I'm kind of getting into.
Yeah.
I did the one before it. What was it?
I keep hearing about Yellowstone.
Yeah, Yellowstone.
That's that's the show you've been watching. Yeah, I haven't seen it, and I keep hearing how awesome it is.
Yeah. I love the scenery, man. Are you kidding?
It makes you want to move out there, right?
Damn right.
Next up, we've got DuckBoy0315, and DuckBoy asks, Jake, who is your favorite guys to work against that people might be surprised about?
You know, I worked with a lot of damn people, man, and probably my all-time favorite would have been the Grappler, Lynn Denton.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Garvin would have been another favorite, too.
Man,
I love working with Ronnie, man. It was a fight, but it was fun. God damn, he made it fun.
Some absolute wars between you and Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he didn't chase you down with a car or anything afterwards. So
I was foolish enough to get in his airplane, though. He scared the dog shit out of me on that.
He could fly.
Oh, yeah. He has his pilot license, man. He has his own plane.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what was he going upside down and shit?
Oh, well, we might as well have been. It was him and myself and my wife, Cheryl. And we were flying to Altoona, Pennsylvania. Mm. And some fog had rolled in. And Ronnie's like, Jake, do you see the lights down there? Landing lights. I'm like, fuck, Ronnie, where are they supposed to be? They should be right in front of us. I'm like, I don't see anything, brother. He's like, you should be able to see them. We're only about 50 feet off the fucking ground.
Oh, God.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Fucking trees out here are huge, man. And he says, yeah, you're right. Let's take it up. So he pulled up and we flew on to Pittsburgh, and we were able to get into Pittsburgh, and we rented a car and then drove back.
Whew.
Yeah.
Man.
But I remember Ronnie Garvin back in the day in Louisiana. There was a spot show out in the middle of nowhere. And Ronnie took his plane there. And of course, there was no airport. So he called in and told the sheriff's department he needed to emergency land. And he emergency landed on the highway.
Oh my God.
Got out. They gave him a ride to the building where the wrestling was. We did the match. He came back. He acted like he had to fix something in the plane. Okay, I think I got it, guys. Okay, we'll set you up. And they got out there and blocked the highway off for him to take back off, man. That was crazy shit, man.
Dude.
I mean, broke so many laws there. Are you kidding me? Holy shit.
Unbelievable. So, man, I didn't know that he had a pilot's license, but I don't think you'd catch me dead letting anybody fly me around. Well,
not only does Ronnie have one, but Jimmy Garvin has one.
Jimmy Garvin
flies the big planes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man.
You ever fly with Jimmy?
No. No.
This once with Ronnie was enough for you.
Yeah, I think he flies for FedEx or something.
Damn. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jake, up next, my pal and friend of the show and the guy who counted Jeff Jarrett down for Ric Flair's last match, Ref Super Dave, Dave Miller. He asks, how was Mike Von Erich coming along when you worked with him? He was 13 months in when you put him over on Christmas 84 show. And I remember you being the first person to use the claw on.
Yeah. That whole situation was sad. Mike did not want to be a wrestler. That was the last thing he wanted to be. He didn't have the attitude for it. He certainly didn't have the physical look. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to be doing it, but because he was a Von Erich, you got to do it, you know? And I went out and just did what I could, man. You know, I tried to make him look as good as I could because that was my job.
Right.
You know, it wasn't my job to go out there and beat his ass, which probably should have happened. But, you know, because he's a Von Erich, you're going to make him look as good as strong as you can. So, yeah, I was the first guy he put the claw on. And, yeehaw.
You worked with the other Von Erich boys as well?
Oh, God, yeah.
I've heard that they would often show up late, not show up.
Oh, like, yeah. They were reckless. Yeah, reckless, crazy. I know my first match with Gino Hernandez and I, they tagged us up, and we were going against Kevin and Kerry, and we get in the ring, and Gino says, I'll start. So he gets in the ring, and he goes in the corner, and he raises a knee up and covers his head up like this, and he's like, come on, Von Erich, I'm going to whip your ass and all that shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, you'll find out. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we started wrestling and shit. Come time, I tagged. I went in the ring, and I'm standing there. Come on, you son of a bitch. And holy shit. Kevin Von Erich just ran and jumped and threw a knee up and punched me at the same time. Ooh. So I got a knee in the fucking sternum and a punch in the eye. And both of them were stiff. And I went down, and I rolled over, and I went, what the? And Gino's like, now do you understand? You fucking right, I understand, man. It sucked.
Good Lord. Yeah, it's, you know, such superstars and great look and over like Rover in that territory. But, man, just couldn't put it together elsewhere, unfortunately, which is a shame. All right. Next up, we've got Stephen Parsons. How was it working with the Big Boss Man, and what are your favorite memories with him?
Oh, Boss Man was funny, man. We called him the Big Lost Man. He had the funniest laugh. You know, here he is 300 pounds, and when he laughed, he sounded like a 15-year-old girl. He'd giggle. You know, it's like, what the fuck is that, man? Yeah, I wrestled him in Tokyo, man. We had a pretty good match.
That's
pretty
right.
Good match.
Gosh, I can't remember what that was called, but I always see clips of it online where you're the what?
You're in the Egg Dome.
The Egg Dome. Yeah. It's a really historic venue. What did you think of working there?
I thought it was hilarious, man. I mean, here you got this gigantic building that, you know, is just incredible, and you put it out to send in names for it, and the best name they could come up with was the Egg Dome. Come on, man, give me something.
That is a little weird.
Yeah, it was huge.
Man, it's such a cool venue. A lot of fans, American fans, make the trek overseas just to see that dome in person because it is a spectacle.
It is, man. A lot of great things have happened there.
Reverend LJ Selena asks, Jake, what's your favorite meal and what's your brand of cigarettes?
Cool Filter Kings is my brand of cigarettes. My favorite meal would have to be... an 8 or 10 ounce fillet, about that thick.
Ooh.
Cook it rare, very rare. I like for the meat to be blue when I eat it. And throw in a sweet potato loaded.
Oh.
And a corn on the cob, and I'm set.
Chris Manders asks, what was Jake's first impression of Stu Hart? Does Jake have any Stu stories?
Oh, God, I've got a million Stu stories, man. He was an icon, man. And to go there and to be around him, to listen to him, hearing him talk, and then hearing other people imitate him, it was just, you know, I've got my own imitation of him. It's like, Jake Roberts, he quite a stud there, young boy. Let me feel that shoulder. Ooh, you got a nice, strong shoulder there. You're a hell of a stout man, aren't you? Why don't you come down to the dungeon and we'll push each other around a little bit. What do you think?
Oh, no.
Fuck no, I'm not going down there. Brother, I used to go over there and work out, and I'd hear him coming down those stairs, and that was my exit. I bailed because I wasn't letting him get his hands on me, man. I see him do things to people that just weren't human. You know, how can you do that to somebody? Oh my God.
So it's I know crazy. That you were, I knew you were in Stampede. I didn't know that you were working in the dungeon as well.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. I went there. I stayed in Calgary about 8 months, I believe. And I decided to leave when it snowed on my birthday, which was May 30th. And it's snowing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It's snowing on my birthday. That's it. I'm out of here.
Time to move
I can't
on.
Take it, man. Oh, it was so friggin' cold up there, man. You have no idea what cold is until you've been up there.
Now, I know that you were rooming with Bret Hart. Were you staying at the Hart house?
No, we had our own house.
Oh, okay.
We had our own house. We stayed together about 4 months, and then I got my own place with a guy named Terry Sawyer, which he got out of wrestling after he left there. He had a lot of PTSD to work with, man, and it was pretty scary.
Okay, you know? So had he been in Vietnam?
Yeah, he was a medic, and he'd seen some pretty bad shit. And I remember we made the mistake of going to see a movie, and the movie was Deer Hunter.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. And I went, you know, after the movie finished, I got up and walked outside smoking a cigarette, getting ready to go to the car, looking around. Well, I thought maybe he's in the car already. So I walked down to my car. No, he's not in the car. So I waited for about 15 minutes. Finally, I walked back in there and he was still in the theater sitting there crying.
Oh, Jesus.
And I helped him up to his feet. He didn't talk. And I got him back to the house, and he went and laid down, and he stayed in his room for 2 days.
God almighty.
You know, he didn't go to shows or nothing, man. He was just, it fucked him up.
Man, poor guy. And that is, that, you know, you hear about brutal, these people that come back but don't really come back, and it's, you know, God, frightening.
I can't imagine how horrible that is.
Thank God for all of our servicemen and women sacrificed.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Joshua Newman Lusk asks, does Jake have any of his own ring-worn memorabilia?
I do, but it's in my Jake vault and it'll never come out.
What kind of stuff do you have?
Well, I've got old tights and stuff, boots, but I've got a few things that I've still got outside of the vault, but I'm kind of holding on to that. I might bring some of it to WrestleCon at WrestleMania.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think I'll bring a couple of pieces. I'll tell you, here's an interesting little tidbit that I have. Not many people have it. It's
Yeah, let's get a look at that. The Ellery Queen.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a got stories in here about people getting hurt and stuff. And there's like 10, 12 stories in here. It's for women to read, you know. Mm. Love stories and just, but it, I was really happy to get that because, usually on these type of books, you get that blonde long haired guy. What's his name?
Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah. I got rid of him one time. we were just signing back to back. There was a curtain between us and hell, I had probably 300 people in line.
Damn.
And they had paid him big money to come in. Big money. His lawyer flew with him. His agent flew with him. This whole entourage. And I'm over there and I've got, like I said, 300 people. And he's got like 20.
Oh, no.
20 women. And I poke my head through and I said, "Hey, man, when are they going to let your crowd in?" And he looked at me and just, oh, you know, and I'm like, really? And his manager says, "You need to get on your side of the curtain. You know, this is Fabio, blah, 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 blah."
Oh, my God.
I'm like, okay, no problem. And I couldn't take it, man. I fucking got in the bag, got the snake out, went through the curtain and put the snake on him.
How did he react to that?
He screamed and ran like a little girl. refused to come back. Got me in a lot of trouble. Threatened to sue me. Oh, all sorts of shit.
So, well, yeah. I'm sure a lot of those women that were in line were pretty disappointed to see, see him do that.
Yeah. He was a pussy.
So now, wait a minute. That magazine is geared toward women. Do you remember what happened? Like how you wound up on the cover of that?
They just wanted me to do the cover, and Vince had me do it. This was 1988. Let me see what some of the stories are. The Quiet Place, Exhibit A, The Dividing Fence.
Are these like pulpy women's like sexualized stories?
Love stories, yeah. Leopold and the Cemetery Bandits. The Taste of Cocoa. Lindbergh or Dillinger. The Evidence to the Contrary. The Long Day. The Secret Lover.
I was hoping that somebody was writing like Jake the Snake erotic fan fiction and putting
it. Oh, I could do that. Oh, I do have some great news.
What's that?
I sent my book to the publishers.
All right.
So they'll have to do the print and all that crap, but it won't be long. Maybe a couple of months, I'll have that book out here for sale.
Man.
It looks like it's going to be about 600 pages. I don't know.
That is absolutely incredible news. So Jake the Snake, you heard it here on the Snake Pit. Jake the Snake's new autobiography is forthcoming. And man, that is going to be one that is can't miss. All right, Jake. Rick Guzman asks, growing up in New York, I remember Jake being on a children's show hosted by a cat puppet named DJ Cat. I was wondering what his recollection of the show was.
Money, money, money. Hey, man. I'm a whore, okay? I work with cats. I work with dogs. I work with snakes. I work with assholes.
Just sign the check, right?
Just sign the check and be sure and spell that name right.
Well, we'll see if we can dig up this clip of you with this cat puppet.
Oh, my God.
I know it's out there on the internet somewhere.
Oh, my God. If you must.
Is there a Jam asks, is there a storyline or a narrative or a rivalry that you wish could have happened for you that didn't when you were in the WWF as it was then? So was there a scrap storyline that you would have wished took place?
Oh, there's several people I would have liked to have worked with. I mean, I would have liked to have done a storyline with Mr. Perfect. I would have liked to have done a storyline with Don Morocco.
Don Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been great.
And I would have certainly liked to have done a storyline with Bob Orton.
Bob Orton, really? So what about Bob stood out for you?
He's just, I've always thought he's one of the best that ever been in the ring.
Wow.
He gets my highest praise.
Well, and certainly his son Randy has lived up to all those expectations as well.
Certainly have.
What about when you were working for The Office with WWF? Did you ever pitch a story to Vince that he shot down?
No.
No?
No. Everything I pitched, he used.
That's awesome.
The Austin stuff he used. All my stuff he went with.
So I know that, and fans all know that you were influential in Steve Austin's career due to your ideas and booking and whatnot.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else who, off the top of your head, can you remember any other storylines that you helped to book or put together?
Shawn Michaels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
His stuff with Vader?
I'm the one that came up with the idea to go down and have him announce that Shawn has left the building.
That's great. That is fantastic.
Of course, I wanted to have a spotlight hit him as he's walking up the stairs to leave the building. You know, then he'd turn around and thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's amazing.
I didn't ever want Shawn to go to the locker room. I wanted him to enter from a limo.
So you even know, as a baby face?
Through the front door. No, whenever they turned him heel.
Oh, I gotcha. It's a man. That is something else. I had no idea that you were doing that Shawn left the building stuff. That's great.
That was me.
All right. Last one from Corey Craddock. And Corey asks, where did you get your tights for WrestleMania 8? I think that's the only time I've ever seen you wear those airbrush tights.
If I could remember that, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
A little too specific.
Yeah, I'm a whole lot smarter than Right. No, I can't remember where the hell I got those done.
Where were you getting your tights in general?
I can't remember that.
You don't?
No, my daughter-in-law did them.
Oh.
Baby doll.
Baby doll?
Yeah.
No way. I had no idea.
She did some of my tights.
That's awesome. All right, well, Jake, that's going to do it for this week. Next week, we're looking back to a wild time in your career as you were running with the devil in Florida.
Oh, my God. Don't miss this.
Man, this is
going to piss yourself laughing.
This is going to be a hell of an episode.
Oh, my God.
Guys, we're talking about your time with Kevin Sullivan in Florida, and I am 100% certain that you've got some wild stories to share on this subject.
Woo! You have no idea what can of worms you're opening.
You can catch it here next week on The Snake Pit. Guys, if you have a question for Jake on that subject or really any subject, you can ask it over on Twitter at Snake Pit Pod. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@Snake Pit Pod. There's no better way to introduce somebody to The Snake Pit. You get a little sample size bites of what we're all about over there. Plus, we've got all kinds of stuff in the archives. So get over there, subscribe, hit the notifications bell so you don't miss any of the new content we're dropping. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on all platforms, because that, let me tell you, helps us out a ton. Please take the time to do that. Catch Jake on Twitter at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram Instagram at Jake the Snake DDT, and on Facebook at Real Jake the Snake. Follow me at Marcus P. D'Angelo on Twitter. And better than any of this, Jake, is what you're doing over there on Cameo. Because, buddy, man, Jake gives you a once in a lifetime experience with a video that you'll never forget, or whoever you gift it to will never forget.
Absolutely, man. I have a blast doing those. And, I don't give you 30 seconds. I'm going to give you several minutes of whatever you ask for and then some.
How about a promo getting cut on you by Jake the Snake himself? He'll quit your job for you. He'll break up with your girlfriend for you.
I'll tap it for you.
He'll do whatever you need over there at cameo.com/Jake Snake. And hey, look, don't take our word for it. Go check out the reviews over there. They're
just try it, man.
And with good reason. Yeah, just give it a shot. It's fantastic. Also fantastic is jakethesnakeshop.com. We're constantly reloading that with some new stuff. And it is, I mean, you can buy these incredible, incredible pieces of merchandise, all signed. Look at that thing, guys. Hang on, let me do a close-up on Jake here. That is handmade Greek-style statue made by Sin Bodhi, the former Kazarni in WWE. And you can get your hands on that at jakethesnakeshop.com. And I believe Jake will sign it for you, probably on the bottom, right, Jake?
Oh, hell yeah, right across the bottom here.
Man, once in a lifetime stuff over there. Awesome collectibles you can't get anywhere else. That's jakethesnakeshop.com. And Jake, that is it, my friend. That was a fun episode.
That was a blast, man. I can't wait for next week. I'm going to go in there and start doing my prayers and stuff right away so I can kind of cleanse myself before Kevin gets back in my ass.
You gotta get right with the Lord before you start messing around with the devil next week.
Yeah, right.
And guys, we will catch you next time right here on the Snake Pit.